integrative health info at its best. It's time for It's Your Health, and it ain't rocket science with Dr. Decker Weiss, Dr. Holly Lucille, and Lisa Davis.
The beautiful music of Miss Julie Newmark, Mrs. Julie Newmark at julienewmarkmusic.com. I believe that's Dime Store Halo bringing us in. We're at Radio MD, 1-877-711-5211. That's 1-877-711-5211. We are healing the mind using the mind-body connection. I'm stumbling even saying it. And we are here to think this through. We need to make this simple and think this through so people can get started. We have a blog on this up at radiomd.com. Holly, where do we start? Lisa, where do we start? How do we simplify this?
One of the most important things, I think, for simplify it for you out there is to understand that it does exist, you know, and to get curious about where you are with that connection of your thoughts, your past, and how that connection is either contributing perhaps to a dis-ease in your body or contributing to you healing by you being able to change it. And I think the other simplification piece is to demystifying it in the way that makes it just real. It doesn't have to have a religious connotation. It doesn't have to mean that you're a yogi or that you meditate. I think it's that curiosity. You know, in fact, one of the things that I've always thought was peculiar is when people get cancer, they're going to fight it. And I've always thought, okay, well, mm-hmm. I love that warrior type spirit, but if it's my body, I feel like I don't want to fight it. I want to understand it. I want to see what has gone on. What happened? How can I excavate not only my choices that were certainly made with my thoughts, you know, they my thoughts kind of create my words, which create my actions, etc., that maybe help create some of my dis-ease in my body. And so just being really able to first understand that it does exist and that people deserve the right to understand that it does exist and also get curious about their own relationship with it.
Yeah, I've heard two different meditations, you know, specifically for cancer, about cancerous cells. And I'm going to go as my instinct as a practitioner of 15 years when I talk about this. One of the meditations is that you're literally burning the cancer cells. You're like spraying them with fire, and that's your meditation, is you're killing them. The other one is the cancer cells are undifferentiated. They're young. They haven't become what they're supposed to be. It'll be in your brain, and it's not becoming a cancer cell. It's this neutral cell that keeps growing. The other visualization is to take that young, innocent, neutral cell and picture it flowering. Picture it developing into something, changing from that undifferentiated, you know, life-threatening cancer cell into this beautiful flower and getting it to turn. I can tell you, listeners, from my experience that flower version, the more peaceful one, the more calming one, is the one in my patients that has worked hard. I'm curious as to what you ladies think.
Yeah, I agree. You know, my mother unfortunately lost her battle. She had ovarian cancer. It was already between stage 3 and 4. She was supposed to live a month. She lived for 2.5 years, but she had 27 chemos, 8 abdominal surgeries, mm-hmm. and then she got into all the alternatives. I mean, her entire bed was covered with supplements, but I didn't see, and I could be mistaken, but I didn't see a lot of the mind stuff that we're talking about, the emotional stuff. She had a very traumatic childhood, an abusive mother, and I didn't see that, and I just saw this, I have to live, I have to live, I have to live. And it just was so heartbreaking that she had to go through so much. And I just wonder about that piece. And it is heartbreaking, what else to say.
How do we simplify this? And I you know, in the blog I put, we start with laughter. It was a lot of the things, the core that laughter, good books, things like that. That's how I started in my practice, also trying to get some spiritual connection. Holly, you have a talent in my life and our friendship and everything of distilling complex things down. Any tips for me on this?
Oh, yeah, that's very sweet. You know, I think once again, sort of taking the zing of this being anything other than just real for folks, it's just there. It's like I have always said, you know, even in school, we had this we actually had a shift at the clinic called the mind-body shift. And I was thinking, how can you even separate that as a modality? Because you can't separate the mind and the body. You just can't. You just really can't. And so I was always perplexed that they did that, you know, as if you do something different on, you know, that shift than I would do on, you know, let's say Dr. Decker Weiss's cardiology shift. You know, if somebody comes in with, you know, I you just can't. And I think that the fact that it is the simplest thing at all, you know, period. It just is. Where you are at with it is the other thing. It's a whole nother aha where you can go, oh, I have this. Well, let's just get curious about it. And how can I use it? It's kind of like, you know, superpowers. Will you be using it for good or will you be using it for evil? And we can ask everybody. It's like, but, and I think that's the question, you know, that's the real question.
In the Matrix, they knew, because when the mind, when they died in the Matrix, they died in the chair because the mind could not live without the body. I found that very interesting that in the Matrix, people watch it on the TV and they're all willing to accept, yeah, the mind body can't live without the body. But when we hear and it's faced with us, it becomes intimidating. So I guess Keanu Reeves could be a good teacher.
Well, and those writers, because they get it. You know, I think a lot of those movies that are out there that have that sort of special, there's people, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. I think they're great projections of what's real for us. I think those writers, those artists, those creators are very, very creative in that way, that they pull in things that people feel, you know, are true. And it's, I think also being able to simplify it is understanding and using simple examples of, hey, this is how you know it's real. You know, have you ever had your feelings hurt? Where does that show up in your body? You know, have you ever had butterflies? Nothing has happened, but you're thinking about, let's say, oh my gosh, talking on the radio, you know, where do you feel that? Do you feel that anywhere in your body? You know, have you ever seen something that you're sexually attracted to? Hey, where do you feel that in your body? I think all of those things are
my wallet.
Really simple example. Decker.
Whoa, wait a second.
Oh, sorry, wrong show.
I didn't even get that at first. Oh, gosh, okay.
But I love the butterfly.
Well, you know what I would love? Well, I do too, but what I'd love to know from you two as the experts is, okay, so for somebody brand new to this, should they start with maybe a guided visualization? Should they start with maybe a couple yoga poses? Like, what is it? What do you think? I mean, I think everyone should just Google bioenergetic therapist and just go, but you know, what are some simple, easy ways? What do you guys think? Yeah, what do you guys think?
I think that...
Decker, what do you think?
I think we are facilitators of getting them to find what they're going to connect with. Okay. And I liked, Holly, you mentioned the butterflies in the stomach. That's something everybody can recognize. Well, if I have butterflies in my stomach, that's a mind-body connection. That can be a conduit to something greater. I find the hard part in my practice is the modem, how I get somebody to connect with it in a way that they haven't connected before in a goal of healing. That's what I try and do, and I search out as many conduits as I can. That's why Holly is not just a friend of mine and a colleague, but a teacher, because she helps me generate more conduits so I can help my patient. That's what good colleagues do for you in medicine.
You know, and I it's such my pleasure, and I get so much back, even funny little jokes here on the radio. Lisa, I'm going to answer your question. I think the number one thing where people could start is really just shifting attention. And being able to be aware of their thoughts, just simply an exercise. Okay. Hey, why don't you be
That's
aware?
Good.
It's what, and the fact that they have them. Oh my gosh, do we have them all over the place? 80 million times a day, right? The people
Too
that
many.
I work with, yes, who start to do sabotaging behavior. I ask them, why don't you think about? Why don't you try to withhold at least 2 minutes that behavior that you know is getting in your way of your goals? And start to journal. I want you to write down what you think you're thinking about. I want you to write down what you think is just below the surface. 2 minutes, just delay the behavior for 2 minutes. See if we can get some insight into what's in the way. I think that's a great way to connect deeper to who you are as a person. And I think, as you said, the therapy that you mentioned or any other therapy, the goal is when you have consistent contact with somebody else, you have more consistent contact with yourself.